Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Joining us now on the Diamond Factory Hotline, Cowboys color analyst Babe Laufenberg on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Babe. Happy Friday.
Good morning, and it's with a little bit of sadness that I'm doing this show this morning.
Why?
It's our last one.
Oh, well.
I don't get to talk. And I thought RJ may move me to another spot or something, or to next week, or... I was getting texts from RJ about every 10 minutes. We can't do 840. Michael's people said, and then, oh, okay, we'll do 9. No, we can't do 9.
Mike McCarthy. All the mics. Mike's screwing everything up yesterday.
Oh, that's what it is. And then then I'm waiting for Mike Fisher to move his spot.
And, He's been moved.
I know.
He got moved to Mickey Island.
He doesn't even work there. I said, RJ, he doesn't work there anymore. You can't pull that one on me. Okay.
Babe,
I love it.
What happened? The Dallas Cowboys season into the playoffs. What happened? How would you summarize it all?
Well, obviously, number one, disappointing. I wouldn't lose sight of the fact that they did go 12-5, albeit we all know they beat up on the NFC East, and they beat up on them at a time when even those bad teams were even worse at the time. You know, Washington was out like 20 guys. They had played Tuesday night.
Right.
That was almost a win before you started. Philadelphia, last game of the season. Again, they played their JV team. But they did go 12-5. And so I don't think you can lose sight of that. And Mark Cuban likes to say, hey, there's one champion and the rest are all tied for last. And I know what he's saying, but I don't agree with it in the sense that as an organization, the Cowboys have to go back now and really evaluate themselves. You know, they talk a lot about self-scouting.
Yeah.
You know, and they need to self-scout where they are and what happened. And again, they're not the fill in the blank. They're not the New York Jets. They're not Jacksonville. You know, they went 12-5. They had a good year. And obviously they've been doing this for 25, 26 years now. How do we get over the hump? And so that's the question that they've got to, you know, really sit down. And you just can't fool yourself at this time of year and say, if we had this, if we had that, we win that game, we do this, we have home field.
What do you think they need to realize? What do you think they need to realize?
Well, and I'm not saying, they got to, I hate it when people get on and, you know, I never forget, I forget who it was, but it's on ESPN. The guy says, you know, Bill Belichick has to understand, like, whatever you're about to say, Bill Belichick understands a lot better than you do, trust me.
Right.
But, you know, hey, you always make moves that you think are going to, in this case, like I say, get you over the hump, make you better, whatever it is. It's coaching, personnel, personnel department, whatever it is, you make moves to make you better. And I couldn't, you know, pinpoint. We all saw the games. We know kind of where they were good, where they weren't. So they've just got some decisions to make. And again, you have to take any business, you have to take a good hard look at yourself. Say, what did we do well, and where do we need to improve?
What did you think of the mechanics of the final play and the way that went down Sunday?
Yeah, it was unfortunate. It was just a confluence of a bunch of things happening.
Confluence.
Yeah, did Dak go too far? Yes. At 14 seconds, you do have time there. If the umpire doesn't knock Dak off the ball and trying to spot it, and many times the umpire, let me just say, he will swing around the offensive line. He'll go around the tackle, around the tight end, and spot it from the other side. So it was just a strange thing. But again, that goes back to, don't look, that was 14 seconds, right? Don't look at the last 14 seconds and say, here's why we lost. Look at the 59 minutes and 46 seconds they played before that, right? That's where they got beat. And I will say this very quickly. I'm reading this. It's a national guy. I won't tell you who it is.
What is his initials?
You can figure it out.
His initials.
Yeah, you can find out if you want. But this, okay, so he said, and it was written, okay, about the last 14 seconds. There's another less obvious benefit to being at the 30 and not the 24, saying the Cowboys went too far. They should have stopped at the 30. He should have went down. So with the final play starting at the 24, it became easier for the 49ers to defend the goal line and the end zone. At the 30, backing off too far would have given the Cowboys a chance to throw short of pay dirt and try to run it in, either with a fast guy slicing through the defense or with a hook and ladder style play. So you see these things from a national, I will say, well-respected voice, and you're just saying, are you crazy? Well, mm-hmm. If they're better off at the 30 than the 24, let's just go back to the 40. That gives them even more room. So the last 14 seconds got a little crazy. That's all I can say. You got to look at the first 59 minutes and 46 seconds. That's where they lost the game, not the last 14.
Just in terms, though, of the last 14 seconds, would you have preferred two shots from the 40 or one from the 30 or 24?
Well, oh, I see what you're saying.
Right, you know, just take two Hail Mary, whatever you want to call them, Hail Marys at that time.
Yeah, exactly. If you had told me you get one shot from the 24, now you got a legitimate chance kind of to throw the ball in the end zone, and it's not a Hail Mary. You're getting a little more favorable matchups. So, I had no issue with that. I was a little shocked when I saw a quarterback draw. I won't lie to you, but if you look at the defense, they weren't going to get a sideline throw. And I'm going to post that, as a matter of fact, because you'd look at it and you say, okay, we're not going to get a sideline. I liked what they did in trying to get it closer and then having one play where you had a legitimate chance to throw it as opposed to the Hail Mary. It just didn't get executed.
Babe Laufenberg here on the Diamond Factory Hotline. A lot was made of McCarthy saying that they were nervous. They were in the pregame prayer, and he could sense the nerves. How uncommon or common is that?
It's a good question, and I'll throw a couple of real life examples at you. And he kind of walked back the nervous and changed it to some other word. I can't remember exactly what he said after that. But Troy Aikman hyperventilated before the Super Bowl. He thought he was literally going to, like, choke out. He was ready to run. He comes to run out. He said he was fine in warm-ups. And they're in the tunnel waiting to come out, and he was literally hyperventilating. He'll tell you. And that's Troy Aikman, right? The coolest cat in the world. And here he is hyperventilating. I remember Joe Montana said, hey, if I don't have butterflies, I'm not ready to play. And I do think your body tells you you're about to go do something different, whether it's football or whatever it is. You got a big meeting. You got a big sales presentation, whatever it is. Your body tells you, hey, I'm about to do something different here. So the nerve, you know, I think it was just, you know, guys, here comes a playoff game, but in answer to your question, Sean, I don't think that's uncommon to sit there and have that. And then, you know, you kick the ball, you hit a guy one time, and all that's out the window, and you go play football.
McCarthy seems to not want any part of the play-calling responsibility if Kellen Moore leaves. What do you think about the next play caller and McCarthy doing it or not doing it?
Yeah, and I find that interesting because in 2015, when McCarthy, of course, was at Green Bay and head coach and calling plays, he ceded that duty to Tom Clements, who was his quarterback coach for years and years, and then the title of offensive coordinator for a couple of years. And he took it back. He took back the play calling. Matter of fact, it was the week of the Cowboys game, which, ironically, they ran the ball like 40 times for 230 against Dallas in that game. But he took back the play calling, and I know it fractured his relationship with Tom Clements because, you know, again, he'd been on the staff for, I don't know, 6-8 years. But he said, I'll never do that again, meaning I'll never give somebody else play calling duty. I mean, you can look, it's a quote.
Yeah.
I'll never do that again. So when he got here, I found it interesting that he then ceded play calling to Kellen Moore, having, again, done it. So I don't know if that was his decision. I don't know if it came from the organization saying, hey, here's what we want you to do. We want you to be the head coach. We want this guy to call plays. But I just kind of found it interesting that he gave up those duties. So I'm just wondering if, and it's a pretty big if right now, Kellen Moore becomes a head coach, if McCarthy won't take that duty back.
Mm. But it's all collaborative. You know, the play calling is one thing, but the game planning is all collaborative, right? Anyway, even if exactly, McCarthy is calling the plays.
Yes, 100%. And I don't want to say I appreciate you saying that, but I appreciate you saying that, because people act like the play caller goes into the corner office and comes out on Wednesday to give the team the game plan and says, okay, here's what we're doing, guys. It's all, hey, everybody's in there, from the O-line coach, the running game stuff. Everybody has a part in it. And then there's that guy on Sunday that obviously has that play call sheet in front of him, and he's calling the game. But, yeah, the installation and the game planning is all a very collaborative process.
What would you think about Mike Zimmer taking over for Dan Quinn as defensive coordinator?
Oh, I'd be ecstatic. I don't know if it'll happen because, you know, Zimmer had been here. The old thing, you can't come home. He was hoping to get the head coaching job here a number of years ago. That didn't happen. He didn't even get interviewed. So I don't know how happy he was about that situation, because Parcells was kind of making him the heir apparent. And then they hired a defensive coach, obviously, in Wade Phillips. Mm-hmm. They hired Zimmer, basically. So would he come back here? I don't know. But would I be happy about it? Absolutely. Vic Fangio? Would I be happy about Vic Fangio coming to Dallas? Absolutely. So there's a number of guys defensively that I think you could sit there and say, man, that's awesome. It's not really the case with offense. It's funny that way. I think you find a lot more guys who are, because I think offense is more difficult. There's no question it's more difficult. So I think there are a number of guys who come in here, plug in at that defensive coordinator spot and do the job.
What is your what is your stance on penalty blame and, you know, your thoughts on Joe Philbin with a lot of these, you know, offensive line questions up front that you've been pointing out all year?
Well, I think a lot of times they're just getting beat. Tyron Smith, and this is not to call out Tyron, you know, he's a possible future Hall of Famer, but they could have called five holding penalties on him. The funny thing is, Cowboys had 14 penalties. I went back, I've looked at the game on offense three times. Not once, three times. And they could have called 20 to 25 penalties on the Cowboys. I mean, they got off easy. So the notion that the refs and this and the officials and we got screwed and good Lord, I mean, hey, the very first drive of the second half, right? They come out, there's third and five, they get a penalty, so they're third and 10, they get another penalty. I mean, before the play even starts, right? They have a false start, they have an illegal formation, then they're third and 15. And that's all on them. It wasn't the officials. It wasn't a judgment call. It was like, seriously, you guys just did that? And that was coming out of the half, right, in the second half. So, yeah, the penalty thing was just crazy. And, you know, it clearly, I don't know if it needs to be addressed, because it's one thing to address it. It's another to correct it. And the great Bill Parcells used to always say, just because you can identify the problem doesn't mean you can solve it.
Right.
And they identified, hey, we're getting penalized a lot, but they could never solve it.
Babe, thank you for the time this year. Enjoy some of the off season, and we will catch up with you.
I appreciate it. And hey, I'm RJ. I'm meeting somebody for coffee at 9:30. Do I need to move? Do you want to move that on me?
thank you, babe.
Hey, thank you, guys. Love you both.
Appreciate it. I love the passive aggressiveness from Loffenberg.
Yeah.
He's an expert in terms of being passive aggressive. He is.
I know something that will move from that coffee, though, babe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.